So picture this. You walk up to your office building in the morning.
Right.
You swipe your badge at the turnstile. The security guard waves you through.
Yeah.
And the elevator already has your destination floor queued up.
It's all totally seamless.
Exactly. You don't pause to inspect the concrete beneath your feet.
Huh?
And you definitely aren't questioning whether the electronic doors are going to, malfunction and trap you inside.
Because if you had to verify the structural integrity of the building every single morning, I mean, you'd never get any work done.
Right. And we extend that exact same expectation to our digital environments, don't we?
We do. But the reality is a lot messier.
Yeah. And that is exactly what we're getting into today. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone.
Glad to be here.
So our mission today is delivering a three-story cybersecurity briefing. We've pulled this straight from a stack of fresh threat intelligence reports. And whether you are an IT.
Yeah, attackers aren't just breaking our systems anymore.
No, they are weaponizing our implicit trust.
Which is fascinating, really, because in a world of total information overload, defending your network isn't just about knowing what the threats are. It's
Yeah.
about knowing why they actually work. You have to connect the dots between, legacy tech, human psychology, and cutting-edge AI.
So let's jump right into that legacy tech piece. Okay, let's unpack this first story from Huntress.
The Azure CLI report.
Yeah. So between June 12 and June 26, this is 2026. So recently, an attacker made over 81 million login attempts against Microsoft's Azure command line interface.
81 million, just massive scale.
Right. And it originated from an IPv6 address range controlled by this LLC called LSHIY. The result of all this, at least 78 user accounts compromised across 64 different organizations.
And Huntress actually noted that credential spray attacks across their customer base surged by 155 times during that period.
Wow.
It's a completely industrialized wave of brute force activity.
But I'm stuck on the mechanics here because, I mean, we're talking about modern Microsoft Azure environments.
Yeah.
If you're managing one of these networks, multi-factor authentication is just standard practice now.
Usually, yes.
So how does an attacker execute 81 million password sprays without triggering just a tidal wave of MFA prompts that would instantly alert the defenders?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the attackers found a very specific blind spot. They used an authentication protocol called ROPC.
ROPC, Resource Owner Password Credentials.
Exactly. It's this highly deprecated OAuth 2.0 grant type. Basically, it's this old workflow where a user directly hands their username and password to a client application.
Okay.
And then that application takes those credentials and directly exchanges them with an authorization server for an access token.
So it bypasses the interactive login screen entirely.
Completely.
It's like a company installing the state-of-the-art biometric security gate at the front entrance, right?
Yeah.
But then leaving a rusty lock on a basement storm door that
Yeah.
anyone can just walk right through.
Yeah.
The basement door is a perfect analogy. Microsoft officially deprecated ROPC and OAuth 2.1 specifically because the protocol is just fundamentally incompatible with modern multi-factor authentication.
But wait, didn't these companies have conditional access policies? Like the rules that block logins from weird locations?
They did, but ROPC sidesteps them. The bypass happens because of how the network traffic is routed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, an ROPC request doesn't actually pass through the standard authorization endpoint where those modern CCAPEs are enforced. It goes through a legacy back channel.
So the attackers knew about this architectural quirk.
Exactly. They bought up old username and password combos from previous, totally unrelated breaches. And since the users hadn't rotated those passwords, the attackers just pointed them at the Azure CLI and pushed them through the ROPC flow.
And the MFA never even triggered.
Nope. It's a cascading failure. In a lot of these places, MFA was applied with exceptions, like only for specific apps or only for admins or trusting certain IP ranges.
And ROPC just slips right through those gaps.
Right. And shockingly, the data showed that 8 of the impacted businesses had absolutely zero MFA policy in place at all.
8 businesses
Yeah.
with cloud environments. That is terrifying.
Yeah, it really is.
So what's the bottom line here for you, the listener, if you're managing one of these environments?
The immediate move has to be absolute enforcement. No exceptions for legacy protocols. You have to require MFA for all users, all cloud apps, all client app types.
And restrict the Azure CLI app for non-admins, right?
Yes, definitely. This is really a story about technical debt. We keep things like ROPC enabled because some 15-year-old internal billing app needs it to run. But attackers are actively scanning for that one deprecated protocol you kept alive just for convenience.
Yeah, and when attackers can't find a rusty basement door like ROPC to automate their attacks, They just change tactics.
They do.
Instead of automating the break-in, they trick you into doing the manual labor for them. Which brings us to our second story. The evolution of ClickFix.
Ah, ClickFix. Because the human element is always the most reliable exploit.
Right. We are just so habituated to doing whatever the interface tells us to do.
You really are.
So for those who don't know, ClickFix is when a fake error page, or like a CAPTCHA, tricks users into copying hidden JavaScript and running it in their terminal.
Under the guise of fixing a computer problem.
Exactly. And the scale of this is just insane right now. ESET saw a 517% jump in these attacks. Microsoft says it accounts for 47% of all their initial access cases.
It's massive.
And Proofpoint even tied it to state-backed groups. We're talking APT28 from Russia, Muddy Water from Iran, Kimsuki from North Korea.
Yeah, setting up fake job portals in the crypto sector to get people to run this stuff.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This new research from Birchan Pals, he analyzed about 3,000 live ClickFix payloads.
Right, and he found it's not just static scripts anymore.
No, it is a fully API-driven on-demand service. He actually requested 100 payloads from a back-end server, and in milliseconds, he got 100 completely uniquely scrambled commands.
They're wrapping them in Base64, AES, triple Ds, you name it.
Yeah, but they all unpacked to the exact same PowerShell script. The platform even matches the command to the user's OS and serves up the fake error lures in like 25 different languages.
The industrialization of this is what makes it so hard to defend against.
The part that really got me, and I want to push back on how defenders are supposed to handle this, the clipboard no longer contains the actual malware.
Right.
It just copies this harmless-looking orchestrator line that moves a file silently dropped in your downloads folder.
Yes.
So the malware is basically a sleeper agent now. The copy-paste isn't the bomb anymore. It's just the radio signal telling the sleeper agent to open the package that's already sitting on the hard drive.
That's a great way to put it.
But if the clipboard text looks innocent, how on earth do defenders catch this?
Well, that evolution was engineered specifically to bypass AMSI.
The anti-malware scan interface in Windows.
Exactly. AMSI scans scripts right before they run, including checking the clipboard. By just using a standard file move command, they don't trigger it. And they also changed how they tell users to run the code. It used to be press Windows key plus R to open the run box.
Oh, and now they use Windows Terminal, right? Windows plus X.
Yeah, because opening Terminal looks a lot more like ordinary admin behavior. Plus, it leaves absolutely no trace in the run MRU registry key, which is what forensic investigators usually check.
That is so sneaky. So what's the practical impact here? What's the defensive lesson?
The lesson is you can no longer rely on scanning clipboard text or just using simple antivirus. The dependable signals now are process chains.
Like tracking the sequence of what opens what.
Precisely. If your endpoint tool sees explorer.exe or windowsterminal.exe launching powershell.exe, and then that immediately reaches out to an external network that has to be flagged and blocked.
That makes total sense. Now, ClickFix relies entirely on users trusting a fake error screen. But our third story, this one is wild.
This is the big one.
It looks at a scenario where the deception comes from a source we increasingly trust without any question at all, our AI assistants.
Right. The integration of large language models has just created this entirely new attack surface based on misplaced authority.
Yeah, and Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 just put out this research on a trend they are calling phantom squatting.
Such a great name for it.
It really is. So we know LLMs hallucinate, right? They make things up. But they are inventing web addresses that don't actually exist. And attackers are literally buying them up to catch the traffic.
It's brilliant in a really malicious way.
Unit 42 asked two AI models over 685,000 questions about 913 different brands.
Wow.
The model spit out 2.1 million links. 250,000 of those were completely made up, totally unregistered, just waiting for attackers to buy them for a few bucks. And 13,229 were already known to be malicious.
That is a staggering amount of vulnerable infrastructure being generated on the fly.
So what does this all mean? How are attackers actually weaponizing these hallucinations?
It all comes down to consistency. AI models hallucinate consistently.
Wait, really? Like they make up the exact same fake domain over and over.
Exactly. An attacker can ask an AI a bunch of questions, see what fake domain it consistently invents, and then just go buy it. And because it's a brand new domain, it has zero negative reputation.
So security block list, don't block it.
Nope. It bypasses all the historical filters.
Okay. Give me an example of this in the wild.
Sure. Let's look at the Montana Empire phishing kit from the report. Unit 42 actually predicted that an AI would invent a specific fake domain for a national postal service.
Okay.
23 days later, an attacker registered that exact hallucinated domain and built a pixel-perfect storefront to steal credit cards and national ID data.
23 days.
Yeah, and ironically, leftover files on the server showed the attacker used an AI coding assistant to build the phishing kit.
Of course they did. AI on both sides.
Yeah. And in another case, Unit 42 flagged a hallucinated postal domain 51 days before an attacker bought it to push a malicious Android app.
That is just, this is like a map maker hallucinating a fake street on a city map and criminals realizing it. So they actually pave the fake street just to mug anyone who follows the map.
That is exactly what is happening.
But let me push back here. You said earlier in a previous discussion that brand impersonation is already this huge paid service, right? Kits like Lucid and Lighthouse have like 17,500 fake domains. If AI is generating an endless supply of fresh, clean domains, isn't this just an unwinnable race for defenders?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is definitely a paradigm shift because model output is becoming input.
Right.
We act on AI links before verifying them. It's just like the Phantom Raven campaign where attackers hid malware in 126 NPM packages based entirely on the code names that AI tools were hallucinating for developers.
Ah, slob squatting.
Yes. And this is happening in real time now.
So what are the practical takeaways for our listeners? How do you defend against something that doesn't exist until the AI makes it up?
Rule number one. Never, ever trust a link just because an AI gave it to you.
Period.
Period. Second, you have to prevent AI agents from automatically opening or downloading from generated links. And finally, you just have to treat all model outputs as completely unverified drafts.
Yeah, you have to do the legwork yourself.
Exactly.
All right, let's synthesize all of this. Whether we are talking about legacy ROPC protocols slipping past conditional access in Azure, or API-driven quick-fix malware bypassing script scanners, or attackers squatting on AI hallucinations, the common denominator here is the exploitation of assumed trust.
That is the thread tying it all together.
Yeah. You as the listener need to remember that in this landscape, your security is only as strong as the assumptions you are willing to verify.
Well said.
Don't trust the legacy side door, don't blindly trust the error screen, and definitely don't blindly trust the chatbot.
And, you know, I'll leave you with a final thought on that.
Yeah, go for it.
We know AIs consistently hallucinate the same domains, right? And we know human attackers are using AI assistants to build phishing kits on those very domains.
Right.
So how long until the human is removed entirely?
Oh, wow.
How long until we see malicious AI agents autonomously identifying, registering, and weaponizing the hallucinations of other AI models?
Just a closed loop of synthetic cyber warfare.
Exactly. Machine against machine, and we're just caught in the middle.
That is a terrifying thought to end on, but a really necessary one. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay secure, and we'll catch you next time.